Welcome to my Latinx life. Join me as I journey to learn, educate, and highlight Latinx leaders in a comfortable setting similar to your mom's kitchen. We'll explore a variety of topics with guest and reoccurring hosts. I'm your host, Joe Redondo, and this is my Latinx life. Yeah, you had some big wins. More specifically, you had some real big wins this last, probably what would we say, like 9 months?
Probably less.
May. You've had some really big wins, and so just so people understand also how we got connected, so friendly reminder, I work for Seattle Children's, but I do not speak for Seattle Children's, and the views are my only. So HR, again, you're not getting me. Good try today. I don't even believe that they probably even care and would listen to this, but I'm not gonna let them get me. Not today, Satan. Mama didn't raise no fool. So yeah, so I work at Seattle Children's and I lead the ERG, our employee resource group. And we reached out to you because you created this amazing image and your team created this amazing image that are two hands of girls, GRL, girls, holding each other. And one has a darker skin tone than the other. Both people of color, as I say in this image, because that is the way it is interpreted by me. And they are strong women who say, my struggle is your struggle, mi lucha es tu lucha. And was kind of the center point and the focal point for our Hispanic Heritage Month at our organization. Because every year we pick a central topic or image. And this one, I can't take credit for it. I will give that credit to one of my chairs that work on our team, Beatrice Cruz, who's our membership chair. She's like, hey, I ran across this amazing image. Could we use it? And I'm like, I will only use it. An image if we have contact with the artist and they are okay with us using it, because I don't believe that is ethical to use somebody else's image, especially when we're a large organization. Like, it doesn't take much. Most artists in today's age have some type of connection, which you did and your team did, and I was very happy in how quickly you responded. I was like, okay, I'm going to build out 3 weeks. I have 3 weeks to connect with this person. If I don't hear nothing by week number 2, I'm going to start looking for another image.
Oh my God. Well, amazing. I'm glad. Yeah, it was definitely overwhelming, and I tried my best to get back to people.
Yeah.
In a timely manner.
So I appreciate it. Thank you. Was that the image that really kicked you off, or what was the kicking point that really that one was specifically?
Yes. I would say that we were definitely experiencing a major uptick after I quit my full-time job, just because I had all of my time and energy to spend on Girl Collective, one.
Yeah.
So we were seeing like a slow and steady rise. That probably came with the care packages first. We put out the care packages right after quarantine hit, just to keep women and girls connected, because I realized that it was such an opportunity for small businesses, since like Amazon couldn't deliver in normal windows. And it was really hard to send gifts to anybody. And so having a few friends who had COVID and me wanting to send them a little care package was basically impossible. And so I thought, oh, this is a void that I can fill. You know, I feel and fill. And it did. And they did really well. And I was so happy about that. And so that kind of got us on this like good little start. And then when the Lucha image went viral in May, that definitely, like, a lot of people, you know, say like it doesn't happen overnight, and I agree. Like, I definitely was laying the foundation for what Girl Collective is for years.
Yeah.
But the Lucha image going viral sent us from like 0 to 150 in 24 hours, for sure.
Wow. Yeah, because you were kind of retweeted, people re-Instagram, Facebook posted, everything, and there were some big names. You want to throw out a couple of them? I mean, just to toot your horn today.
Yeah, probably the most exciting one was AOC, because she is my hero, and I really like screamed at the top of my lungs when she posted it on her Instagram stories, and she actually used it to address colorism within the Latinx community, which I was like, yes, this is part of why, you know, like, there's so many explanations behind the image depending on who's looking at it, you know. And so colorism was always such a huge thing to me, you know, in the Latinx community, also having experience with it in India, yeah, and learning about it from different people's perspectives. Like, I was like, yes, this is what I, another like element to it. And without me having to tell her, she learned that on her own from just looking at it, which is the purpose of art, you know? And so that was super humbling, and I cried and I screamed and I was so happy. And then Pitbull posted it, which was amazing. And Becky G and Justicado and who else? I think that's it. I'm sure.
I mean, it's just like the who's who of brown people in America, but whatever. I mean, no big deal. No big deal. It's cool.
It was so crazy because I really couldn't keep up, was the thing.
Yeah.
Because people were sending, you know, it's like all the messages were going crazy to the point where I couldn't even filter through all of them, which is why I had my friend Alyssa help me. And then people were texting me like, oh my God, oh my, you know, like they would see it and like screenshot it. And so
yeah,
the times like I didn't even see when people posted it. And then like people were sending me screenshots later. And so I was like, oh shoot, you know, but it was definitely like a lot in overnight. And I think, you know, for when I thought of this image, I definitely did not ever think that this was going to be the case. You know, I never thought it reach more than like, I think at that time we had like 4,000 followers on Girl Collective, and thought like, okay, this is going to resonate with these 4,000 girls and that's it. You know, like this is a beautiful thing that we've made, and like, I'm glad that everybody loves it. And then this happened and I was like, oh shit, like this is, this is
this is getting real, guys.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, because now it's leading you to some more initiatives. You're taking over brand social, other brand social medias, and you're doing it big. What else are you doing? So you have that going down the line. You've done a couple brand takeovers, you've done a couple podcasts now. What else is going on in Girl Collective and Christine's world?
What is it going on is the bigger question
that you can tell us, because we don't want to upset Natalie either from our amazing PR girl from ruining anything. So just tell us what you can tell us. If you want to give some teasers, I would love that, but totally up to you. And a friendly reminder, your episode will probably come out like towards the beginning of November, so there's anything that you could share and I can be quiet about things, I guess, until then.
Yes. I'm trying to, like, there's been so much, honestly, Latinx Hispanic Heritage Month is like Christmas for Latina entrepreneurs, because we are booked and busy and people are buying stuff and it's amazing. It's also stressful, you know, because you're trying to keep up with everything. But yeah, we definitely, like, this month we were on KTLA in LA, and then we had, I had a feature on People Español, and we did some other brand stuff with like Afterpay, Aerie, who I actually won. I'm an Aerie Real Change Maker. I won a $20,000 grant from them this year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Paying the bills this month. Paying off that credit card that you put everything on. See, I listened to the episode enough that I remember hearing that you put everything on a credit card.
Yes, I did at the beginning. Yes. So I feel like the Aerie thing is amazing, because when you're, when you win the grant, you become an Aerie change maker and you sign basically a year contract with them
until
I pick next year's Aerie Real Change Makers. So I'm a Aerie Real Change Maker for the next, I don't even know how many months are left, but for a while. It's awesome because they definitely like empower us and put us in positions to be able to share our brands, our voices, our causes. And so we do, like, I have an upcoming panel with them that'll be happening soon. And I hope to be able to continue doing more stuff with them. Their team is awesome. I'm trying to think of like what else.
Well, you were recently on Me Too. I 100% watched them on YouTube also, so you were one of their mini brands, correct?
The BuzzFeed one?
The BuzzFeed one, yes. So you were on the,
Better Like.
Better Like. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yep. We did a Mercadito for them.
You were also in the LA Times recently, I saw.
LA Times, yes.
See, I promise I follow you. Now you know this for sure. I'm not just, I try to do some of my research, but also I 100% spend too much time on social media.
What else? E! News. Who, What, Where. That was really awesome.
Got it.
So yeah, there's been, I guess, more like fashion type. Oh, 17 Magazine also. And you know, that's been so great, and I hope that these things continue beyond Latinx Hispanic Heritage Month. And I hope that, you know, part of like, it's it's like a blessing and a curse sometimes, because I think mm-hmm. that times as Latinx entrepreneurs, they, you know, we get all this press around months like this, you know, or yep. an equal pay day or things like that. And I think that I hope that this stuff continues throughout the year, and that we Latinx entrepreneurs, as well as yep. female entrepreneurs, are spotlighted more than just like the months, and Black entrepreneurs, you know, I think yep. a lot of Black entrepreneurs probably felt the same exact way for Black History Month. You know, like, oh, yeah. all this amazing stuff is happening, and we're getting so many sales and all this stuff. And then Black History Month's over, and it's like, okay, where is everyone? You know, like, that's yeah. how I know I'm gonna feel about Latinx Hispanic Heritage Month. Like, okay, now where is everybody? Like, this should be continuing throughout yep. the year. And I think outlets should be highlighting us throughout the year instead of just
exactly.
these niche brands, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that's like, I hope that with some of these features that, you know, when a list comes out that's just like female owned brands, that will be on those lists too, you know?
Yep. There's no reason that you need to put Latinx before it, just that yeah. is nice. Yeah. But yeah, you are a brand to be shopped all year long. So as you think about birthday presents and divorce presents, because everybody needs presents when you get divorced also, or somebody had a bad breakup, or you really messed up with your wife and you need to buy her something.
Yeah, exactly.
So to all of my men and also women with wives, remember, when you screw up, drop over to Girl Collective. Buy her a shirt, buy her some earrings, buy her a mug.
I feel like that's something I've been really open with on the Girl Collective platform. I made this video of just like I'm putting out more videos like this, which Dominique is helping me with now. because, you know, I have all these ideas and like very yeah. little time, and so she's come on to the team to help like basically plan things out and you know, block yeah. my calendar when I need to record content, etc. Yeah. because it has become very difficult. But I put out this IGTV a while ago about you know, using BIPOC businesses in your everyday life, and that's yeah. that's how you support all year long. And so I yeah. use, you know, a lot of Black, brown, and female owned businesses for my skincare, mm-hmm. for toothpaste, and, you know, deodorant, etc. Like, I yeah. try to implement them as essentials so that I always have to constantly rebuy.
Smart.
And yeah, and I do that with gifts too. So like, even now planning out Christmas gifts, like I write down, and this was even before Girl Collective, like I'll write down all of the people I have to buy for, and then try to think of like small or local businesses that I can get their stuff from.
Yep.
And so that, like, one, I think it's obviously supporting BIPOC owned businesses is how you yeah. support building equity within our communities. And
exactly.
like small businesses just have that special touch when you give that Christmas gift, like, mm-hmm. oh, you really thought about this ahead of time because you didn't just like drop by Target or go to Best Buy. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually took the time to like place this order a couple weeks ago and it took some time to get to you, and like
exactly.
put the time and effort into this gift. And so I think that's like, that's what's so nice about shopping small, shopping local, shopping BIPOC, yeah. shopping female. So yeah, it's how we empower our communities and how we continue to build generational wealth in our communities, which is, you know, the ultimate
goal. Exactly. So yeah. So remember, start shopping now, get your gifts. You don't want to be the person at the last moment getting somebody a keychain, because that's all these small brands have at that moment.
I know, I'm so stressed about inventory, and I'm just like,
don't be stressed about it. As I say, you can't change that. All you can do is control how you react to it. So just do your best, and you sounds like you have a great team, you'll be fine.
Thank you. I know. I'm like, it's just crazy, because when something like this, you know, does happen and your brand does grow exponentially, yep. you have no idea what a holiday season looks like. Because for me, it's like last year, Girl Collective was a completely different business almost,
yep.
because we were not anywhere near where we are now. And so I think, like, you know, I think then it's like we made as much all of last year basically
uh-huh.
as we have this year made in a day.
So to all my listeners who are thinking about starting a brand, know that it can happen, and you never know when it's going to take off. So just keep at it.
That sounds wild, but like, because I didn't have a lot of money last year to put into inventory. I literally couldn't buy inventory, which obviously sucked. And I was working full time. Excuse me. And so I was working full time. And so I was letting it fall to the wayside. You know, that was definitely me being like, okay, let me focus on the thing that's mm-hmm. giving me a paycheck. that instead of this thing that's my passion, because if I'm focusing on the passion late at night, then I'm super tired for tomorrow and that job is paying my bills, you know? Yeah. So it was two part. It was like, I didn't have the money to really invest in what I needed to get to build the business. And also, I also did not put in the time like I should have. And so really, like, COVID and my husband empowering me to quit that last job, like, kicked me into high gear of like, you have this business and so many people believe in you and you can make something of this. And
which I think a lot of small businesses as they start and people building brands and things like that can very much relate to. So I think the smart thing that I'm hearing is like, you got to stick with it and you got to make the decision and you got to really rely on those relationships that you have, because you had a husband that really allowed you to make that decision when you were going through some, like, a really shitty situation at work, it sounds like. And you made the decision. So again, shout out to him again. So if he has a brother that's single, let me know. Or dad. I mean, I'm not opposed to that either. If his dad's like that too, so just let me know, holler at me.
Last podcast, my grandma listened to it. She texted me and she was like, can you please tell Drew thank you so much for all that you've done. I'm like, literally. And he's like, you didn't even mention me that much, you just mentioned me like a couple. It was like really short. So this episode he's gonna be like, oh wow, she does love me.
So yeah, see Drew, I bring it out, you're welcome. Well, even so thank you, Drew, for allowing Christine to do this and really build this brand and be this amazing cornerstone of the Latinx community and the BIPOC community and building this amazing female empowered brand.
I feel like you were saying, the keep going part and like about it, like, I definitely think that, you know, I know that every brand story is so different, you know, like, I think for certain brands it's a celebrity posting out of nowhere. They didn't know, you know, was gonna post, and that helps. You know, there's sometimes like it's you getting a news segment because you're within your local community and you're doing something that's different, or you've made something that's super innovative that nobody knew existed. You know, like, there's different ways and different things, just like everybody's personal stories, like, there's different brand stories. And so I think for me, you know, I've always been very open and honest on the Girl Collective platform, and I think that that has helped build the community to be strong. Like, I think not just people following because we have cute t-shirts and notepads and stuff, it's the girls who give a fuck, who are part, you know, that's our tagline. Like, they really identify as that. And like, I will get messages like of just them sending me random things, you know, or something, and being like, yes, because I'm a girl who gives a fuck, you know? And I think that that has really resonated, because I say this often, but like, I think that girls and women and everybody, you know, and I've defined girls as somebody who gives a fuck. It doesn't have a gender. So obviously a lot of our things are tailored towards the female experience. But when I say girls, that is gender fluid. So I think that like part of us being so open and honest and like finding our, I think a lot of girls there give so much, like, because we care so much, we've been made to feel like it's too much, or like we're so sensitive, or we have so many feelings, or, you know, all of these things. And I think that empathy, sympathy, kindness, you know, caring and loving is such like a superpower, and not everybody can do it exponentially, you know? And so I think the girls that are part of Girl Collective like really identify with that and realize like, man, I care about a lot of things, and that's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. Like, I can take the time to care and donate to this thing. I can take the time to care and protest for this thing. I can take the time to make phone calls for this thing. And as long as I'm still happy, that's all good. You know, it can be all of these things. And I think for Girl Collective, we specifically focus on like girls' education and the environment and social justice. You know, those are our main, probably our main pillars. And so I try to think of all of those things in everything that we do. So like us putting out folders and pencils and all that stuff is because we have always, you know, the reason we started is to empower girls' education. And so why wouldn't I carry things that moms can have for their kids, you know, dads for their kids, and they can share together, you know, like there's an adult version for teachers and there's a kids version for kids. And so that's, you know, part of it. We use sustainable packaging because we give a fuck about the environment and about climate change. And so our packaging is any plastic. I am very, and the plastic that we do use is recycled. So yeah, we really, you know, try to bring it to life in every way that we can. And obviously with social justice stuff, oh, there goes my dog because my husband's at the grocery store.
Yay, Drew's back. We're having food.
I know. He went to go get some lovely steaks. And so, yeah, so I think like obviously in all of our merch, the social justice aspect is always at the core. And I think like sometimes I'll think of a design and I have to think of, okay, does this fit in with what the things that we give a fuck about? Because yeah, it still needs to be on brand, you know? And so I think that, you know, like the Mind Like Freedom moves like Selena T and things mm-hmm. that aren't necessarily political. Yeah. For me, you know, brown and black women and all women, you know, Asian women existing in places that, you know, I guess aren't always held for us. And there's brands out there that, you know, we can't identify with because we weren't served by them. Yeah. I think putting out things like this that women can identify with, especially women of color, is a form of activism. You know, BIPOC businesses existing, period, is a form of activism. And so it is still part of the vein of what Girl Collective is.
Yes, I love that. I think that's amazing. Yeah, I think that all ties into when I think about your brand, that is definitely everything that I think about when I think about why I wanted to have you on the show. Because I mean, by no means am I obligated to have you on the show because it's my show. I get to decide that.
Natalie didn't pay you. This just happened.
Yeah, no, by the way, Natalie did not pay me. But if that was an option, I wish I had known that. But yeah, no, I think that that all aligns. I think that your whole activism point is very true and very true to your brand and who I think about when I think of Girl Collective. You've really been pushing voting, which I'm very excited about because that's really important, is getting registered. So if you're not registered to vote and you're in a state that still allows it, please make sure to get out and register.
Yeah.
And then educate yourself on what you're voting on. Like, well, I get it. Like the national election seems really dismal to some people because of the states that you live in. We understand that our voting system is a little ass backwards with the Electoral College. But again, that's another conversation for another day. There's so many local elections on so many of our ballots this year, from city councils, from state councils, state yeah. representatives, senates, Supreme Court justices, school boards. Yeah.
Yep. What people don't realize about like a national and presidential election too is that it right now, like I don't think anything is set in stone, you know, like yeah. yet if you live in a primarily Democratic state or primarily Republican state, there are so yeah. many states right now. Obviously the swing states are always a toss up, but yeah. there are so many states right now that they've been talking about like, oh, it's a purple state basically because it's so mixed. And I think yeah. that, you know, people that don't live in California look at California like, oh, it's, you know, so Democrat, you know, et cetera. But yeah. no, you know, it's like, drive.
Yeah, just get outside of those big cities.
Yes, exactly. It's like, no, that's not the case. You know, Texas, same, like yep. I bet people need to know that every single vote, even when it comes to the presidential big one, no matter what state you live in, elections have been lost by very few votes.
Exactly.
So I think that that's like one big thing to push. And obviously, yes, the local elections, mm-hmm. all that stuff, doing your research. I'm going to do on Girl Collective the weeks leading up to the election. We're going to do IG Lives called Breaking Down the Ballot. And yep. so we'll be talking for the most part, like our four biggest markets for Girl Collective is LA, Chicago, New York, and all of Texas, really.
Yep.
Austin is really, you know, amazing for us mostly. But yeah, so talking to girls in those different states to break down their state election picks and like do our research. So I have a few girls, you know, my friends who live in these states that we're going to go through the ballot and basically, yeah. you know, I'll do the research for Texas and Florida and Chicago as well. Sorry, not Florida. Oh, we should have somebody for Florida. That's another thing for us. Need to get a Miami girl. So
why not?
We have so many Miami girls. So I think, you know, really talking about the state level type of stuff yep. is important. And a lot of times, like I'll get, you know, messages from girls, especially the week of the election, being yeah. like, hey, and it's like, it's so amazing to me because these girls are so open and honest and they're like, you know, I really don't know anything about this, or I feel mm-hmm. like I've been naive to it, or I have kids and I don't have time to walk yeah. fingers up. So like yeah. what? And they like love and trust me and Girl Collective. And so mm-hmm. they're like, hey, can you just tell me what to do? Which I like, obviously yeah. like, wow, very humble.
yeah.
And also,
like, that seems like a lot of pressure. Please don't do that to me right now.
Oh no, I literally had people calling me, texting me, leaving me voice messages on primaries day, like yeah. yeah. And even then, again, like we were way smaller than now. And so I'm anticipating a similar situation election day this year. But I think providing these resources, like we're going to do the IG lives so that people can look back on it if they need any resources. Because, you know, I agree that sometimes people don't have the time to do the research. I know that, you know, especially during COVID, people are working their asses off right now to just pay the bills and get through every day. And so I understand. And obviously with politics, like being what feels like recently such like, it gives you like such a defeatist attitude sometimes.
Yeah.
Like it feels so and sad. And so I think some people just turn it off and don't want to pay attention. So trying to give them the information in more like bite-sized and like positive ways is the way that I've always tried to do with Girl Collective. And also just like, again, being honest that politics is not just for people who majored in political science and it's for everybody. Like we, the government works for us. And I think that that's something we've 100% forgotten about. And so I think, you know, I hope that so many people, more people go out to vote this year, especially young people, because almost half the country didn't vote last election, which
baffles me. Yeah.
Like almost half. And it's like, it's crazy that we are, you know, supposedly like the strongest, best country in the world. And how are we falling behind all of these other countries when it comes to, you know, voting and voter suppression is terrible here. Like, how is that still happening? You know?
Yeah. I was on a call with Voto Latino because that's the one of the initiatives we're using at the hospital specifically. So our ERG is working with Voto Latino. And then we have a veterans network who's also, they said the best way to give back to a veteran is getting out to vote, which I was like, how a nonpartisan way to be like, hey, we fought for your country. The one thing you could do for us is like, yes, we appreciate you saying thank you. But like, how about you just get out and vote for the one thing that we actually like, it's the cornerstone of our democracy. Like get out there and vote. So yeah, get out there and vote, educate yourself. Voto Latino, I will specifically talk to you about, is an easy way to go learn about specific topics, puts it in a really functional, nonpartisan way for you to get the information and really learn about voting, registering to vote, things like that. So it makes it very easy. Yeah. And then it sounds like Christina is going to be doing some amazing work, bringing people from battleground states, it sounds like. So hopefully you'll be tuning in there so you can learn about the amazing topics in all these various states and things like that, especially to my listeners in Texas, because that's where I'm from. So I know I have listeners there.
Yeah.
And so, no, it's huge and amazing. So thank you. So I want to ask you one more question, then I'll ask you the final two questions that I ask everybody.
Yeah.
So the last kind of three questions, the first one is, so you're busy and everybody's busy, as we already talked about. How do you manage those relationships with like your family, specifically like your husband, your mom and your grandmother, but also your friends and things like that? Like, how do you manage the day to day? Because like you said, it is a shit show. People are managing work, they're managing households, they're managing not losing themselves and managing not losing themselves with whoever they're quarantined with right now. Because I could, while I live alone, I couldn't imagine being stuck at home with a significant other and add children and a dog and a cat and everything. I'm like, oh my goodness, that gives me palpitations in itself.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think, you know, with my husband, it's funny because we like joke, like we spent, you know, this whole quarantine together and we have not killed each other. Great. And like,
yeah,
I've honestly gotten in very few arguments, which is also great. I think it's one, because we give each other a lot of space. And so like during the day, I'm working in my office, he has his office, and we're like coworkers, you know, like we see each other for lunchtime, for dinner time. But for the most part, we're busy and he's usually on calls most of the day. And I think with my mom and my grandma, like obviously having them help me pack orders is a nice time to like spend together. And we've also been doing like just backyard hangs at my mom's house, like just barbecue, you know, so that we're outside and it's safer. Still able to like spend some time with each other. With my girlfriends, like I have a standing girls night on Thursday night with two of my girlfriends, which is awesome. And sometimes you know, it's stressful, like trying to get everything done before heading over to one of my girlfriend's houses. But I'm like, I look forward to that moment where I sit down at her table and we pour the wine. And I look forward to that all week because I'm like, okay, I know in that moment, that's my time to be present. And that's my time to not look at my phone for work stuff and just like be there with my friends, you know? And so I think that, and like with some of my other friends, like one of my friends, Ness, and her husband, it's Drew's best friend growing up and wife, who her and I are also very close. And so we do like wine nights on Fridays sometimes. So with us, it's like always a Friday. So then we're like, okay, what Friday are we free next? You know, so then we figure it out, even if it's a month out from now, like, okay, we know we're going to see each other then.
Gotta put it on the books.
Yes, yes, exactly. I think the Zoom hangs have definitely died down, like non-existent situation now. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I honestly was not a huge fan of Zoom hangs.
But they were just awkward a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
I know they were. And especially if it was like several people, because then you can't hear, like, mm-hmm. the whole thing. So I think, you know, in-person stuff outside has been a go-to. I've done like picnics with some of my girlfriends out in like a park or the beach. Yep. It's been a good one. So yeah, I think getting outdoors, because usually when I'm in my office all day is when I start to feel a little stir crazy. Yeah. But yeah, just making time and remembering, like, I think what COVID taught us a lot about in the beginning was that, you know, the people who are around you, like your people, matter. Yeah. The most, you know, out of everything, you know, possessions, etc., like your people are who matter. And so I think remembering that, one, remembering like who has been that person for you, or people for you over, you know, years or months or during COVID, is so important. And I think acknowledging that to them, like, I've made a huge point recently of, you know, I guess before, like, I would think these things in my head about my friends, like, oh, this is super sentimental, or like my husband, and I would just think it, and like I wouldn't always say it or like text somebody. I would just think it and be like, oh, that's so nice. You know, like, they've really been there for me and like been so, you know, present, and or so-and-so came to this and like, wow, they didn't have to do that. You know, I would always think that stuff, but I wouldn't always communicate it. And I think like in the past few months, like, I've lost a couple of friends, and I think like for different reasons. But I think that in addition has taught me that you really, time is so precious, and like, you may not be able to say that thing to them tomorrow. And so when you feel it in your heart, and when you have that urge to reach out.
So true.
You know, like, I think I've sent very sentimental text messages to my girlfriends in the past like couple of weeks. Like, hey, I was just thinking about this thing, and like, I really noticed, you know, how present you were for me, or like how you might have been going through something and you were there for me anyway, you know. And just acknowledging that sometimes your friends make sacrifices for you, and I hope, you know, and I tell them, like, I hope that I'm reciprocating this, because I obviously want to be as good as a friend to you as you are to me, because I want to give back to you as well, and I want you to feel fulfilled, and like, somebody is filling your cup in addition, you know. And I think with my husband it's the same thing. Like, him and I are pretty open, and I'm very mushy with him when it comes to like communicating my feelings, and with my grandma and my mom too, you know. I think like, it, with family, sometimes it's hard to get like mushy or like sentimental, but I think even just a text of like, I love you so much, I just wanted to remember, you know, to remind you of that today, like, goes a long way.
True. You know? So true. So I'm going to ask you one quick question, and then we'll wrap up with our final actual question, as I think you answered one of them recently. So is there anything that you would like to plug that you personally, other than the brand? I mean, the brand, of course, has been plugged throughout the whole episode. Is there anything else you would like to plug? Anything that you're supporting? Anything that you want our listeners to know about that really is the quintessential side of who Christine is at this moment? Because it changes, let's be honest. Like, we're human beings, and we're Latinos and Latinas and Latinx people. And I might have a different view in 20 seconds.
I guess it's like, it's not one particular thing. I think it's just caring with you, or thinking of all the time about supporting causes that are going to help communities of color, because it is a domino effect. Will empower all communities of color. And so, you know, like Rai says, like Black Lives Matter, organizations like that who are really at the forefront to help, really, you know. And I think too, like, supporting Latinx, Black-owned businesses, Asian-owned businesses, female-owned businesses year-round is something that I have committed myself to, and I hope that a lot of other people do as well. I think that's it.
Great. And so the final question is, when you look back on your amazing years of life so far, so doesn't seem like many, because you seem like you're about like 12 years old. But
I wish.
I mean, you look like you're maybe about 23, but
oh my God, thank you.
You're like, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, yes. Is there any relationship you wish that you could have changed, or any relationship that is very instrumental to who you are today?
Oh, okay. Wait, anyone that I could have changed, or anyone that's instrumental?
Yeah. Or somebody. Yeah. It could be either one. Some people have somebody that, like, that relationship really changed who you are, and it was, you wish you could have changed it. Or is there somebody that's just been super important to you that has really allowed you to be the person that you are today? Or do you have one for each of them and you want to talk about them?
Yes. Obviously we've talked about my husband pretty much for this whole podcast.
Yeah, we're done with him. He's already had enough. He's had enough glory, okay?
So we already know about that. I think I feel it's always hard to think of, like, somebody in my personal life.
Yeah.
But to be very honest, I think it's probably, like, my imaginary relationship with AOC.
Oh, okay. So AOC, in my mind, AOC is listening to this episode. So
AOC is my friend. Uh-huh. It's really funny because my therapist actually looks a lot like her. And also my friend looks like her. And so it's very weird. But I think that that's part of the reason why I, like, in my soul, I'm like, I know her. But I think that her existence and how she's really just, you know, paved such a big road, I guess, for Latinas and women, and women of color in this political scape has just been so inspiring. And I think that I wouldn't have felt so empowered with Girl Collective if it weren't for a lot of the things that she said and the confidence that she's given me, because I think her just being this normal woman who didn't come from a bunch of money, who, you know, was a waitress before a bartender, like, that just really was like, wow, anybody could do anything like that, really, you know. And I think I saw this before, but I also feel that way about Selena. And because, like,
so not to get too off topic, please tell me you're gonna watch the series at the beginning of December.
Yes. I'm still a little skeptical, I'm not gonna lie, but we'll get into that.
So no, all my friends and me, we've all decided we are gonna watch it. We are excited about it. We are all going in with a very skeptical mind, and we're gonna be very truth and honest about it. Why we all love Selena, because that's what Latino people do.
Yes.
And also, by the way, fuck Yolanda Salazar, but whatever, that's another fight for another day. Go back to the topic. You were saying AOC is your inspiration and your amazing relationship with her.
Yeah, amazing relationship with her, because she's inspired me. So I think, like, I don't know, I definitely was always so afraid to, like, I guess, get involved or talk politics or act like I know what I'm talking about before she came along. And then after listening to so many things, and, like, I obviously love to listen to podcasts to educate myself and feel, like, better prepared to have these conversations. Yeah. I probably never would have done any of that stuff if it weren't for her inspiring me to do so. And so I think, you know, obviously there's been so many relationships over the course of Girl Collective, like I'm saying, friends and family who have all inspired me in so many ways. And I think it all kind of started with, funnily enough, I guess, the AOC sweatshirt. When that first came out, like, I felt this, like, surge of, like, oh, this is really exciting, and this is something that, you know, women want to wear the sweatshirt because we believe in somebody like her. And so I guess seeing that and knowing that, again, anybody can do anything, you can inspire people, you can empower yourself, and you can hold your own when it comes to being in a room of, like, old white men who have been doing whatever they've been doing for 75 years. And you can still have a stake in that game, you know? And so I think that that's, like, been my biggest drive behind all of this, is, like, it's crazy to me that she's younger than me, one.
She's younger than all of us, I feel like. Let's just all be honest.
Exactly. And so when I see that, I'm like, I can do this, you know, like, I can do this, I can have these conversations, I'm smart enough, I'm enough. And I think that that comes a lot from, again, somebody who I don't actually know, which is crazy, because I think that there's you know, few heroes like that who provide that for the masses. And I think that she has been one that's been huge for Latinas. And I feel so like happy that she exists in my lifetime.
Yes. So thank you, AOC. And we appreciate you listening today, AOC, to this amazing podcast. So we thank you also for really inspiring Christine and allowing us to have Girl Collective in our world at a time that is needed. So maybe this episode will be dedicated to AOC. I don't know yet. I don't know how I'm gonna feel. So
it's like dedicated to AOC or Drew.
Yeah, I don't know about Drew. Let's not give Drew too much, because I'm not gonna put all men in the category, but I do know a little bit about men, knowing that I am one, is that will go to his head too much. So it'll be a mixture maybe between the two of them. We'll see. Yes. We'll see how we feel.
Yeah.
Anything else you would like to tell the listeners? Anything that we should know about you? Anything you just want to get off your chest today? Do you have any great chisme that is happening in your neighborhood that I should know about? Do you have anything? Do you have a hot delivery driver or anything that we should know about?
I'm trying. Any last minute things? I think anything I want to get off my chest probably is that be nice to people during the holidays, please. I say that for people that are essential workers.
Yes.
Also for small business owners. Mm-hmm. Anyone that is in the customer service realm of life.
Yes.
Just be nice humans. It is not the end of the world if you do not get something. It is not the end of the world if you do not get something in time. This time that we're living in is truly unprecedented. And so I think that just remembering to be kind and that caring is cool, which is one of our things.
Yeah.
Just really like I really say that with like, I think people need to remember that always, like what we went through in the beginning of COVID, where everyone was really, you know, for the most part coming together and caring for one another is something that we need to continue doing. And when you're buying from small businesses or when you're at Target or when you're at the grocery store and there are essential workers who are putting their own lives at risk to service you, just be grateful, you know, be mindful, be grateful, be nice. I think with small businesses, obviously we deal with a lot of customer service stuff. And it really is like, you know, with small businesses who the owner is the one responding to your emails usually, is also the person getting the notes when you buy from Shopify or looking at the comments when you leave comments on posts. Just remember that there's a person behind it. And although you feel the need to attack or to say something that may not be so nice, about whatever it is, you know, I'll get trolls, I'm sure. But like, it is a person behind that that's putting their heart and soul into this thing that they love and is providing to a community. And that's, again, not just with me, but all of my fellow business owners. It's such hard work. And I think that, you know, a lot of the days it feels very lonely, but when you have your community behind you, it doesn't feel like that. And so sometimes, you know, just remembering again to be kind and as empathetic and sympathetic through this holiday season as we all can be.
Yes, that is an amazing point. So yes, that is very true. Start shopping now, guys. Quit being lazy.
Yes.
So that you can't blame it on anybody, number one. And also number two, be nice to everybody. Like, it's not going to hurt you. Like, it's not like you're going to be okay. Like, the world is going to continue to move on if you're nice to somebody.
Yes.
That also goes for me, because I know I'm not always the nicest person, but I'm always nice to the people at the store as much as I can, unless they give me attitude. Then it's a different point at that point.
Story.
Yeah. Then it's a different story. I tried to be nice. You pushed it too far. So again, thank you, Christine, and the amazing staff over at Girl Collective for making sure that Christine was available to me today. I guess thank you to Drew also for making sure that you keep feeding Christine so that she was available and that you went to go get groceries for steaks tonight. So thank you. Most importantly, thank you to Christine's mom and grandmother for supporting her at the very beginning and all her friends. And lastly, we can't forget, thank you, AOC, for inspiring Christine to be the girl who gives a fuck and understands that caring is important. So again, remember, this is My Latinx Life, and you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and our website. All the information about anything that we talked about in today's show will be in the notes. And please go follow Girl Collective if you haven't done that already, which I wouldn't understand why you wouldn't. You can also we'll link over to Drew's information too, so he can have a little bit of a spotlight today also. And then other than that, thank you today for listening, guys. Remember, follow us on Instagram and Twitter for updates on the show, and like and share with your friends, with your families, with your coworkers, because we love to have people here listening, and leave us a good rating on whatever platform you're listening on today. Thanks.